I'll be reading portions of two verses today. 1 Corinthians 14:33a, for God is not a God of disorder, and 1 Corinthians 14:40, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. We call it the Prime Life Times in Review. And with me on the phone lines is our very own Dee Chesser. She's a content contributor. She's the children's choir director, which we hope and pray we'll be able to start gathering again in the coming months. She's a grandma. She's a mother. She's a cherished part of our radio ministry team. She's a delight. She's very involved in even the Great News Radio theater troupe that's in the midst of finalizing our The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe production that we hope will be done in April. We'll see. There's still some recording of music and rehearsals and other practices to put together. But Dee, you're joining me via the phone lines. Thank you, God, for this technology, because I'm home in the home studio, nice and warm. You're home in safe and not having to drive out and get over to Lincoln Square. So we thank God for the ability that the technology allows us to connect. And
yes.
And today being our practice where we pull out the current edition of the Prime Life Times, in this case it's the February edition, and you've made the front page again. So we appreciate your gift of, what is it, the gift of the pen, the gift of prose, the gift, well, we appreciate you. And
the gift of scribbling many days.
Yes. And how do you like those two scriptures? As I've been praying up and thinking through, Lord, give me some good scriptures or something. And I knew about your article and read it. And so I was kind of searching through with an eye open for something about order. And actually, I couldn't find it, but somewhere in Genesis, or maybe it's just implied, where God took chaos. And, you know, the first words of Genesis, in the beginning, God created. So from this chaos or this void or from nothing, he put things in order. And so this whole universe, this whole creation was a very strategic plan of his to bring about life and hope and meaning and relationship. And he's created us to operate most effectively or function at our best when things are orderly, things have boundaries, things are kind of clear and put together. And I think your article dovetails off of that whole concept that God is a God of order, and he can bring clarity to things that are confusing or out of sorts. What do you think about that?
I think that's wonderful. I just had to laugh when you read those verses, because this summer, when this article took place, actually, was the closest I've been to chaos in a long time. I probably was in it for a while there, but thanks to friends and mostly thanks to the Lord, there was order. But we learned some lessons. We learned quite a few lessons about, if we had to do it again, which I hope we never do, we would do it even in a more orderly fashion.
Mm-hmm. And your article on the front page of the February edition of the Prime Life Times is titled Downsizing 101. And I love the various categories. I think you have, let's see, there's five on the front page, and then I turn over to the back cover. There's actually seven kind of different categories or truths or statements that you make. And I trust it's going to be helpful for our listeners today as we've prayed up the program that God would use what's said and shared to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, to maybe be a challenge or new information. It's kind of the way we always pray, Lord, use what's said and shared to your glory. And so it's kind of interesting how this Prime Life Times paper continues to expand and have an imprint, if you will, in new areas. I mentioned this a little on the Monday program, but I was in Lincoln this past week, and I met up with Pastor Ray Peppel and then Chris Glick and Pam Pollard. And we sat down at a restaurant. We talked about the Prime Life Times paper and how to make new inroads in and around the Lincoln area. And they had some ideas of some restaurants and locations that we could maybe convince the owners to have the papers available there to
Wonderful.
And so that was kind of neat. And we were thinking of the restaurant placemat program that we had about 10 or so years ago, where we have our unique Great News Radio placemats in dozens of restaurants. And so as people sit there for 20 or 30 minutes or a period of time waiting for their food to be served, they read the placemat, they read about the radio station and the ministry, they might learn about the Singing Men, or the Prime Lifetime's paper could be featured, along with some other advertisements that help maybe a small business or somebody that wants to get information out about their business or service. It's featured there. Mm-hmm. And so they're thinking of some ideas and locations for that to get launched again in Lincoln, and I'm hoping to do that in Bloomington and maybe Springfield and again in the greater East Central Illinois area. Yeah, it was a big production. About 10 or 11 years ago, I had four different salespeople helping, and so we got, you know, the Great News Radio logo and our frequencies in a prominent place on the placemat. Then we had some fun trivia and maybe a puzzle or a connect the dots or tic-tac-toe, and then we had a variety of other advertisers, but it got to be such a big, overwhelming production. And just another thing that I had to help coordinate, that when a couple of the salespeople moved out and one retired, we just kind of let it lay dormant. And I kept praying, Lord, if you want this to happen again, because I know it can effectively introduce people to the radio ministry, because they sit there and they look at our frequencies. And we had like a unique way of saying, you know, encouraging messages of hope, tune in. And I know people found out about us through that, through the placemat. Yeah. And so I'm feeling like it might be time again to launch that in some strategic restaurants, especially in areas maybe where they're unfamiliar, that we have 19 frequencies now and, you know, all the way up to Macomb, so that they know, wow, there's two different frequencies in this area. We didn't know it. Or Bloomington, where now they're getting used to the Great News media format and the programming we provide. So we'll see how God may expand that. But maybe there's some interest peaking in our listeners and like, oh, I have some time to maybe be a salesperson or help coordinate the Prime Lifetime's publication in our area. And so I kind of always leave that up to God to help recruit and bring people that have an interest in helping the radio ministry to bear. So you've been doing that for some years now. You're writing for us. I mentioned the Great News Radio Children's Choir, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, that you're kind of directing some of the musical side of it and helping out with some of the rehearsals. But let's get back to the Prime Lifetimes in Review, because that's what we do on Wednesday. We feature this paper, and you're a content contributor that we adore and appreciate. And hey, am I laying it on thick? Well, you know I love you.
Yeah,
so
I
don't have to lay it. I don't have to lay it on too thick, because you know it's all true. But you're
the love may be true. I don't know about everything you say, but,
yes,
but I'll take it for now.
You'll take it for now. Well, Downsizing 101, you went through this yourself. It was recent, but not so recent in the scheme of what it was in the early fall or late summer.
It was actually this summer. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I moved in July. So.
Yeah, and I don't think Holly and I have gotten an invitation yet to dine with you at your new accommodation.
You know, no one has. It's not just.
Okay. I planted the seed. No, I won't say more.
All right.
All right. Read your story for us.
Okay, Downsizing 101. The time had come to declutter and downsize. It was actually way past due. So let me tell you about moving. But first, might I give you some advice to pass on to your children and grandchildren, or use yourself if so inclined? Number one, don't buy a house with a basement.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you will just fill it. And that filling will be a nightmare years down the road. Oh, but they say you have years before you would have to worry. No, no, no. Remember one of my mother-in-law's favorite sayings. Every year goes faster than the last.
Hmm.
I found this so very true when suddenly, it seemed, I was faced with 60 years of stuff. Which leads to the next item, number two. Don't save anything. Well, we could temper that just a little. If you have 10 things you want to save, get rid of nine of them.
Yeah.
Give them away, donate them, or throw them away. Now, that is better than hauling them to your local charity by the truckload and filling a dumpster. Are you thinking, dear reader, that I might be speaking from experience? Heed my advice and you won't regret it. Along with these two most important gems, I offer a few more tips. Number three, packing things in plastic tubs works great, but don't forget to label, label, label. After you unpack, you can donate the plastic tubs, but number the tubs in addition to indicating room location, and then write down the tub's contents in a notebook or on the computer. This will save you much frustration. My labeling prowess fell short, and I'm still hunting for a roll of stamps, my extra checks, my address book, and my gold tablecloth.
Yeah.
It was for fall. Maybe I'll find it in time for next fall.
Yeah.
Number four, draw up floor plans with placement of furniture and tape them to the door of each new room. The movers, hired or family and friends, will love you. Plus, seeing the furniture arrangement on paper will help you immensely. Moving that sofa back and forth on paper is much easier than shoving around the real thing until it is in just the right place. Maybe rearrangement has become one of my favorite pastimes, be it furniture, knickknacks, or pictures. Number five, if you have a pet, expect to hold it and offer it extra love during the days of the move and settling in. My Yorkie, though loving and very sociable, is a don't-hold-me dog. But when the first things exited the house till everything was ensconced and settled in the new apartment, 4 days, she had to be held. I loved it. But despite her age, at the end of the 4 days, she eagerly jumped down, ran around, and quickly acclimated to her new surroundings, leaving her owner once again with empty arms. And last, but certainly not least, tell yourself the truth. I loved my house, but I had rooms I wouldn't go into for weeks. Did I really need those rooms? Nope. Facing that reality and having realistically prepared my heart and mind for many preceding months and years, rehearsing in my head the various housing steps as one ages, was a huge blessing. This next step was not a present monster, but something almost friendly that had been introduced, met, and familiarized much, much earlier because of truth-telling. And then the right fit. With the plethora of apartments available in this community, even with downsizing, it was possible to find one that was just right and that met my needs and likes. I moved into a large pet-friendly complex and was delighted to discover that my dear friend who had moved to the same complex 3 years earlier was in the same building. And my dog has a new best friend, another Yorkie, who can't wait to run to our patio morning and night to say hello and spend a few minutes sniffing and playing before his owner leaves for work or comes home. Truth-telling made this a painless experience, so needed and so necessary, yet, as it turns out, nicely comfortable. Well, almost painless.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that advice about basements and saving things.
Yeah, and I've always lived in homes with basements, and I can tell you, yeah, there's like, in our home, it seems like whenever there's a vertical surface, it just gets covered up. So if anything, if a TV table, you know, one of those TV tables you eat, people used to eat and watch TV with, if that gets left out, suddenly things just suddenly get put on it. And anything else gets set on top of things. And I'm like, vertical surfaces, let's clean off things, you know. So, well, talk a little more about that truth-telling, because I think there's so much wisdom in this article. And sometimes it's hard to change, or you're in a habit, or you're somebody like, well, I may need that, or that could come in handy, because I tend to be that way too. But after a few years, if nothing has been done with it, I'm like, I'm just going to pitch it, because I haven't used it for the 2 or 3 or 5 years. And so I'm learning, or have been in a habit for some years, to pitch it if it's not going to get used. Or with clothing. I have some that is this size and this size, where I keep thinking, you know, if I lose a few more pounds there or whatever, I can fit back into them. And at some point I just thought, you know, it's been 5 or 6 years. I'm going to probably remain around this. You know, why not donate them? They're still in great shape or whatever. And so,
Yeah, anyways. Well, and I think the biggest thing with the truth-telling thing, too, is planning in your head a little bit for the future. I know we're not supposed to worry about it, but I think to tell ourselves, do a little self-talk about what's coming in the future and what your housing will be. We can't always stay in the house that we had while our children were growing up, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not always feasible. But if you've done some planning in your head, it really is less painful.
Yeah.
You have to think about the fact that you may have to go into an apartment, or you may have to go into assisted living. And if you've thought a little bit about it and kind of made plans in your head, I think it really helps.
Yeah, I think it's a great article. It's in this February's edition of the Prime Life Times, right on the front page. And you can also access it at our website, primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. Well, we have about 4 or 5 more minutes, Dee, and there's another fun article. It's titled The Second Most Famous Smile. It's in our series called 60s Flashback. And you smile a lot. We have good laughter together. And I thought this is kind of an interesting and a fun story about the creation of that smiley face that we're all familiar with. How about reading that one?
All right.
That's been penned by Randall C. Hill.
It's a great article. I also love the guy that it's written about, because my mother's maiden name was Ball. Though you might not know it, Harvey Ball has had an impact on your life. Harvey Ross Ball was born in July 1921 in Worcester, Massachusetts, one of 6 children. After graduating from Worcester South High School, he became an apprentice to a local sign painter and later studied fine art at the Worcester Art Museum School. Following World War II, he worked for a local advertising firm until 1959, when he started his own advertising business. In 1963, a phone call came from a Worcester client, the State Mutual Life Assurance Company. It changed Ball's life and in time added to the popular culture of America and many countries around the globe. The insurance outfit had recently experienced a hostile takeover merger with an out-of-town competitor, and employee morale was low and sinking lower. Could Harvey come up with some kind of quirky design that would be fun to look at and consequently lift spirits around the office? 10 minutes later, he had created a bright yellow circle with black oval eyes. Now, this part I didn't know, with the one on the right slightly larger than the one on the left.
Oh, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's just a hair a little bit bigger.
Yep. And a creased, slightly off-center smile, the right side being a bit higher and a bit thicker than the left. Ball was paid $45, about $350 today, for his work. The State Mutual folks produced and handed out 100 smiley pins to employees with the goal of encouraging workers to smile while doing humdrum tasks around the office, such as chatting on the phone with customers. Smiley buttons later became so popular with the general public, they would eventually be ordered in lots of 10,000. By 1971, more than 50 million smiley buttons had been produced. Ball's creation had become recognized around the world as an American icon. So was Harvey able to retire early, purchase a yacht, and sail off to retire in a beachfront villa on a tropical island? Well, actually, no. He never applied for a trademark or copyright for his smiley face, and State Mutual made nothing from the design either. Ball's son, Charles, always maintained that his dad never regretted not registering the copyright. Charles claimed that Harvey wasn't motivated much by money.
Hmm.
Ball did, however, have an incentive other than cash. In 1999, he founded the World Smile Foundation, a nonprofit charitable trust that supports children's causes. The outfit now licenses Smileys and runs World Smile Day, an event celebrated on the first Friday in October each year. It's a day that emphasizes the slogans, do an act of kindness and help one person smile.
Hey, I'm getting some ideas about the Great News Radio or the Great News Media or some kind of smile day. Yeah, I like this.
All right. Harvey Smiley is now said to incorporate the most famous grin since the Mona Lisa.
Hmm.
Footnote, when the Vietnam War was raging during the 1970s, businessmen brothers Bernard and Murray Spain decided to make buttons displaying Ball's creation, but they added, have a nice day, on each disc. The Spains raked in a healthy profit with sales of 50 million discs. Yep, The pair had first copyrighted that four-word phrase.
Oh, yeah, and there's a great picture, I guess, of this Harvey Ball surrounded by these smiley faces and pictures and posters and all sorts of things. It's on A5 in this month's edition. And I think of that movie with Forrest Gump where he's running and he's got mud on him and somebody throws him a T-shirt. He wipes his face, and then it's that iconic smiley face, like as if he produced that, too. And just a classic scene in the movie, but a great article. And we appreciate Randall Hill and UD for being one of our beloved content contributors. And on this Wednesday, we look at the Prime Life Times in review, and we hope it's a blessing to you. And you can get your copy in over 350 locations. Find out a place near you at primelifetimes.com under the distribution tab, and maybe you have a story or some content that can be shared with our readers. We can talk about that and get you set up with Mary Ann, our editor-in-chief, who's staying home today, enjoying the warm, not being outside in the cold. So thank you, Dee.
I don't know. She has two dogs she has to take out regularly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have our chickens. We've been keeping the chickens in our basement because it's been so cold. So we have, anyways, that's a whole production. We still let them out, then we get them in, and then we keep them in these boxes.
You can write an article about that.
Yeah, the chickens, and then, you know, we have that guinea who is always quacking or whatever guineas do. He's making that sound, chirping, or I don't know. Well, anyways, we got to go. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dee Chesser with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.